This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Freddie Mac data is revealing buying a home has rates surging at a price not seen since 1987. The average price on a 30-year fixed mortgage hit 5% this week. Russia's defense ministry is reporting that the Moskva cruiser, the flagship of its Black Sea Fleet, has sunk. Ukraine says it hit it with missiles. Russia claims it was an accidental fire that ignited ammunition. This week's subway shooting in New York, the NYPD reported 10 people were shot, 5 of them hospitalized in critical but stable condition, and 13 others were injured in the panic. 62-year-old Frank James turned himself in and faced a federal judge Thursday. Mr. James did not enter a plea and is being held without bail. His attorney is reminding New Yorkers not to jump to conclusions.
Initial press and police reports in cases like this one are often inaccurate.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The Food and Drug Administration has granted emergency use authorization to the first COVID-19 test that looks for the virus in your breath. The Inspector COVID-19 breathalyzer, about the size of carry-on luggage, is very portable, and it can give results in less than 3 minutes. Australia levies more sanctions against Russia for its invasion of Ukraine. Wendy King reports.
Australia has announced additional sanctions against more than a dozen state-owned companies. It also continues to levy punitive measures against the Kremlin over its war in Ukraine. The sanctions target 14 state-owned companies, including defense-related entities KAMAZ, as well as shipping companies Chevmash and United Shipbuilding Corporation. Australia has imposed sanctions against some 600 individuals and entities since Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th.
Thanks for listening, and a TGIF to you, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
The Internal Revenue Service announced a filing deadline to submit your 2021 tax returns or an extension to file and pay your taxes owed is Monday, April 18th for most taxpayers. After 2 years of think tanking, a new report by the National Bureau of Economic Research is grading states on how they fared with dealing with the pandemic. The report factored the effects of each state's healthcare system, education system, and economy while grading their response to the virus. Doctor and retired Texas politician Ron Paul on his Twitter account weighs in on the report.
California and New York were the worst dealing with COVID. I mean, shocking, shocking. And but the shock is they don't, especially in California, they don't seem to care. Yeah. You know? But this is a real shocker. Florida did one of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that is really strange. But we knew that something, these statistics would come out, because we argued that Florida was on the right track. Did they do everything exactly right? No, they're going to come up short. But I don't get too upset with this, because I accept the principle that the commies are never going to have perfect socialism, and we're never going to have perfect liberty. But we have to have a concept of liberty.
Yeah.
Because that to me is the important thing, to be able to sort out truth and fiction.
I'm Lance Prague, USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. As always, great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. DeRoy Murdoch joins us now. Hey, DeRoy, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I appreciate you coming on, you know, to talk about, you know, all things happening in our world. And, of course, the heat is up there in, you know, in Manhattan, New York City. Your mayor, boy, is I understand. I mean, some can be forgiven that he's been there 100 days, but people are questioning, is he really the man for the job as the lawlessness continues to run rampant, certainly with what happened in the subway the other day?
You know, question. I mean, a lot of people voted for Eric Adams, thinking that particularly as a former cop, I believe he's a police captain before he went to politics, that we would get somebody who would turn things around and go from the policies of Bill de Blasio and the super far left City Council, you defund the police. I believe they cut the police budget by $1 billion, which is roughly 1/6, so 15%, 16%, 17%, and then all sorts of anti-police rhetoric and so on and so on. And the thought was he would come in and turn things around and the crime rate would start to go down. Unfortunately, the crime rate is still going up. I believe homicides are down, but everything else is up considerably. I think crime overall is up by, I think the number is 25%, 28%, something like this. And then, of course, we have this atrocity on the subway the other day with this Frank James, this very, very angry sort of black radical type, opening fire and shooting these people. Thankfully, nobody was killed, but a number of people were hurt critically. And people are looking at each other going, well, what is going on here? We're not getting the turnaround we're expecting. Adams seems to be trying, but whatever he's trying doesn't seem to be sticking. And Alvin Bragg, the far-left George Soros-funded DA of Manhattan, his whole view is that never to have met a criminal he didn't love. His goal is to get them out of back on the street, back to criminal careers as quickly as possible. And all these things, as I say, it's cute till someone loses an eye. You know, this stuff is a real problem, and we've got people being hurt, people being punched, stabbed, and killed. And we've got the bodies piling up, and it's not funny, it's not cute, and it's in fact deadly.
Exactly. And it didn't seem that the governor helped out either, that she just wanted to do what, Democrats, do as their natural default and blame guns. What's happening not only in New York, but across the country in these urban areas seems to be consistent. That you've got a lot of angry people, you've got lawlessness, you've got homelessness, you've got some mental dysfunction that you're dealing with. I mean, this is a massive problem that is not going to be solved just by taking people's guns away, because you're not supposed to have guns in Chicago, but they still manage to shoot people. God only knows with what, right?
Well, as you know, the guns shoot themselves. They just stand up and they aim at the target. The trigger just pulls itself. It's amazing these automatic guns that work all on their own. They never, the Democrats seem to have no interest in controlling people behind the guns. They want to control the guns themselves. They're terrified of these inanimate objects and spend very little time worried about the people who actually pick them up and point at people and pull the triggers. We also have, because it is relatively difficult to get guns in New York City, certainly legally anyway, we have people who don't bother with guns. They use bottles, they use their fists, they use knives. We have a lot of stabbings. We've got a number of people who are just minding their business who got stabbed on the subway for no reason. Right. A poor guy, I believe, is a young soccer player, was on the subway late at night. He happened to doze off. Somebody stuck a knife in his neck, and he died, and he bled to death, and he's dead. He now is in the box. No gun involved. You can have all the gun control you want. Are we going to do knife control? You know, are we going to do steak knife control? Are we going to do fork control, then spoon control? I really wish the Democrats would focus on controlling criminals rather than controlling objects. And the more they did that, the more we would return to something like law and order.
Well, exactly. Well, you've got to exercise law and order. I mean, even Adams said, well, I've never really supported, he didn't even say really, he just said, I've never supported the broken windows theme. Well, I don't care if you don't support it, but what are you doing to move the needle here? It's moving in the wrong direction.
Well, you know, people beat up on the broken windows theory, but it worked. I mean, this is the basic concept that if you want to fight big crimes, you fight little crimes. And very often, as Mayor Giuliani and Police Chief Bill Bratton, they were the two people who implemented this policy, which was created by a number of theorists who worked essentially with the Manhattan Institute. And they basically, their thought was, look, when you're in a community and you see a window break in a shop, let's say, it doesn't get fixed. So the basic thought is, well, nobody cares. You break the next window. Exactly. You have two broken windows. Then people think, well, maybe I can break in. And they've got robbery. And then maybe I'll take a gun out and rob people on the street. Then you've got armed robbery. Why don't I shoot at these people? Then you have murder. And on and on and on. Conversely, as we found with Giuliani, they often found that the people committing the big crimes also committed little crimes. So if you caught them, for example, jumping the turnstile of the subway, they found a lot of people who just didn't feel like paying the subway fare jumped the turnstile. They caught them for the minor crime of jumping turnstiles. Guess what? Turns out that these were people who were on the run. These were people with arrest warrants. Some of these people carried illegal guns with them. And very often they caught the big criminals because they were in the middle of committing small crimes. So as they went after the small crimes and the small criminals, they ended up also fighting the big crimes and the big criminals. And very quickly, just in a matter of months, New York City suddenly became a much, much safer city. I remember living, I've lived through all of the tail end of Mayor Koch, all of Mayor Dinkins, all of Mayor Giuliani, as well as Bloomberg, de Blasio, and now Adams have been in New York City that long. And when Rudy came in, I can tell you that within about a month of his coming in as mayor, the place started to feel mentally and physically different. It just felt more like
it was safe again. Yeah.
It wasn't instantly safe, but you just got the sense that things were starting to get under control. The wackiness was starting to wane. Adams has been there since January 1st. I don't have that feeling yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and of course, the worst nightmare for New Yorkers is an attack on a subway. I mean, this is the worst thing. I mean, you're underground, you're trapped, and something like that, my goodness, this could, you know, it's amazing. It's an absolute miracle that nobody was killed. I mean, 30 rounds were released in that subway, cart. I mean, that's just unbelievable that nobody died as a result of that. But, you know, this is the worst nightmare for New Yorkers and people. I mean, I wonder how they're, you know, approaching this today, if there's, you know, less people on the subway this week as a result of this.
It's probably too early for these actual statistics. My guess is that the ridership, I can tell you, it's been light, and I'm sure it's gone down further. The more we see reports of crimes, and more people think, well, I'm going to walk. I'll take an Uber. I'll take a cab, whatever it might be. A lot of companies now say, look, you know, if you need a ride home, we'll give you a car service. You see these black Lincoln town cars going around taking people all over. And what happens then, it becomes a downward spiral because those people are in their cars and cabs. You have fewer people around. Because there are fewer people around, the criminals figure, all right, there are fewer witnesses or fewer people to fight back, so let me go in there. That causes more crime. That scares away people. That makes it even emptier, which attracts more criminals. And down and down and down and down and down we go. So that's where we are now. Conversely, you get more people riding the subway. Criminals think, all right, I'll be overwhelmed or I'll be outnumbered. There'll be more witnesses. Maybe somebody will step in and interfere. So let me, you know, go do something else today. So we need to get more people on the subway. And the way to do it is to get more cops down there. The cops need to be on the subway cars. People need to be able to step in. I think if we New Yorkers can't have guns to defend ourselves, at least let us have pepper spray and mace, that kind of thing. I mean, I think of these criminals, if they didn't get shot, which is what they deserve when they engage in crime, is to get pepper spray or mace in their faces. And maybe if they get around the criminal community that people are fighting back and at least macing and spraying these assailants, these thugs, if not actually shooting them and killing them, maybe then they'll start It's open season, and I don't blame people for being terrified as New Yorkers and certainly as people who are considering visiting New York and maybe deciding to go someplace else instead.
Got to go to break. Manhattan-based Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch. More from him after this.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
My friend John Whitehead, constitutional attorney and founder of the Rutherford Institute, often says that knowledge precedes action. I'm Bill Martinez, man of God, conservative, and one of the largest nationally syndicated Hispanic radio hosts in the country. What is the right knowledge and right action, you may ask? Well, one day, you know, God's talking with Cain, and he thought he could cut corners and did not give God his best. And though he tried to cheat God, God still loved Cain and wanted him, and all of us for that matter, to be successful. Sounds simple, but as humans, we naturally want to have it our way, right? It's okay to cut corners and always not do what is right. But there are consequences for not doing what is right. Like the law of gravity. God has established the law of rightness or righteousness. Right education, right thinking, right actions produces that which makes all things well regardless of any circumstance. Working hard and giving our best to God at all times leads to happiness. For more information, check out my show at BillMartinezShow.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're talking with DeRoy Murdoch, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online and founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. DeRoy, you wrote about the insurrectionist Trump-approved National Guard troops for D.C. on January 6th. This is the Dems' story, and they're sticking to it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. This is the whole story. That the reason January 6th happened was that Donald J. Trump he lost the election and he wanted to engage in some kind of a coup d'etat in which I guess his own government would be overthrown. I'm not quite sure how exactly that works. And the whole January 6th effort was to get people to go up to the Capitol and shut down the Electoral College certification. And what people seem to forget, one smaller thing and a bigger thing. The smaller thing is that the Electoral College certification was the one opportunity when you had a number of Republican members of the House and members of the Senate who were going to object to the Electoral College votes in Arizona, Pennsylvania, possibly Wisconsin, maybe Michigan. And basically point out when the House and Senate debated this, they were going to bring forth evidence and say, here's evidence of fraud, here is evidence of irregularities, here's why these Electoral College votes should not be accepted. And in fact, as people were coming in through breaking the windows and penetrating the Capitol, Congressman Andy Biggs, the head of the Freedom Caucus, Republican of Arizona, was on the House floor presenting, he had a stack, I saw it on TV, a stack of voter registration forms that had been submitted after the deadline, which is wrong. That shouldn't happen. And as he was presenting this physical evidence of vote fraud or at least vote irregularities, that's when all this had to stop because of the attack on the Capitol. Now, the attack on the Capitol, again, according to the left, was all a matter designed by Trump. Well, my piece, which is in town hall right now, simply raises this question. If Donald J. Trump wanted his supporters to leave the rally speech that he gave on the Mall and then go attack the Capitol and take it over, why 2 days earlier did he approve 10,000 to 20,000 Washington, D.C. National Guard troops to be on the streets of Washington, D.C. to protect the nation's capital? It would be like if you and I decided that we wanted to rob a bank, and we then call the police and say, make sure and send 100 police squad cars down to the side of the bank because we're coming in.
Right.
Would you and I do that? If so, we'd be the stupidest bank robbers in human history.
Right.
And this is what the left wants us to believe. In my piece in Town Hall, I spoke with former Acting Secretary of Defense Chris Miller and Kash Patel, his chief of staff, and quoted a number of federal documents that all point to the same thing, that a couple days before the events of January 6th, Donald J. Trump authorized National Guard troops to be on the streets of D.C., to be around to keep the place safe, and they would have been there if we're not for Nancy Pelosi not
exactly
agreeing to have the National Guard available for to help the Capitol Police. And Muriel Bowser, the Democrat mayor of Washington, D.C., the night before January 6th, the night of January 5, she sent a letter to the Pentagon and Department of Justice saying, understand, we are not interested in any other federal law enforcement support. The Metropolitan D.C. police have it under control. To be clear, we don't need any help. So they're the ones, Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and Democrat Mayor Muriel Bowser, are the ones who overturned the authorization by Donald J. Trump to have 10 to 20,000 National Guard troops on the streets of Washington, D.C. Had they been there, the protesters would have stayed on the Mall. They would have made noise. They would have screamed and yelled, given speeches. The U.S. Capitol would not have been touched. The all of the Electoral College objections would have taken place, and January 6th would be in the history books as something other than the big mess that it turned out to be. But
exactly.
The idea that Donald Trump was trying to send his supporters in to go force their way into the Capitol doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If you understand, as I point out in my townhall.com article, that National Guard troops would have been there to prevent any chaos, any kind of attack on the Capitol. And all that was prevented by Nancy Pelosi and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, both Democrats.
And the other thing to keep in mind is the Capitol Police outnumbered those that went into the Capitol building almost 2-1, if I'm reading the numbers correctly. So who told those Capitol Police, you know, to go ahead and open the doors? And we have video. In fact, there was one, one adjudication of a Jan 6, defendant who was, the court decided they released him. And they dropped all charges because he had video evidence of the Capitol Police telling him to come in.
I think what happened is that some people, the violent folks right up front, knocked down the barriers, we all saw the footage, breaking windows, breaking in, kicking in the doors. And I think at some point, the Capitol Police figured, look, these people, the doors are open, these people are in, we can't stop them, so maybe the safest thing to do is just throw the doors open, let people come into the Capitol. And I think the initial people at the tip of the spear, those are the violent folks, and other people who were behind them innocently thought that, oh, I guess they've decided didn't let us come into the Capitol, and decided to go in like tourists and just take a look around. Now, the people who broke in, I think, absolutely need to be prosecuted. I think the people behind them, very innocently and maybe through confusion, they should have been there, but they thought they were welcome. And I think some of the people who are being prosecuted were people who came in that, that second or third wave, who had absolutely no idea that they, that the people ahead of them broke in. And they basically went in innocently, as you say, thinking that they were invited in. And essentially they were waved in by the Capitol Police to figure, well, you know, there's no point in fighting these people. Might as well just let them in and create, you know, less mayhem and bloodshed if they let them walk in. And I think a lot of people went in on that with that misunderstanding. And now these people, you know, are facing all kinds of prosecution, whatnot, who basically went there from their perspective in good faith, although they shouldn't have been there, but they didn't realize that because they were waved in by the Capitol Police.
Exactly. But you know how that works, though. You know, you're part of a police department, and you're there for security. You don't make that decision without somebody in the chain of command telling you to go ahead and let them in. And we know that Nancy Pelosi is ultimately, she is in charge of the Capitol Police. This is her responsibility. But it doesn't seem like the January 6th committee is interested in, you know, at least helping us understand where Nancy Pelosi's responsibility began and end that day.
Well, I think a lot of people have said that they would like to see her come before the January 6th committee and testify under oath as to what her role is in this. Did she, in fact, tell the National Guard to stand down? Why did she not listen to her own Capitol Police commanders who said, we need backup, we need support, this is going to be a very big protest day, emotions are high, and, you know, we need backup. And she didn't want backup for whatever reason, maybe because of a, you know, defund the police mentality or a Black Lives Matter mentality or who knows what it is. They said, well, you know, let's have limited, let's have light police presence. Well, we had light police presence. I think heavier police presence would have kept things a lot calmer. And I think she knows that. And consequently, she's trying to cover up her culpability in all of this. That's my guess.
And so they knew weeks ahead of time that this was coming. This wasn't a big surprise. Like, oh, my goodness. I mean, the scuttlebutt, what was happening in social media and everything, clearly. I mean, President Trump was aware of this. This is why he offered the National Guard. So and I spoke with Kash Patel as well. And he confirmed that, you know, all this is very well, you know, very well documented. So, you know, here we are, and you wonder again, what is the purpose of this January 6th hearing? The fact that you don't even allow Republicans that are handpicked by the minority leader, and you decide we're going to have two never Trumpers on the committee, kind of as a show that there's some sort of bipartisan agreement here. But it's obvious that you know, there's prejudice from the get go.
No, I think that's exactly right. And as you say, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger hate Donald J. Trump. They can't stand the man. And those are the Republicans on this committee. The ones who are picked by Kevin McCarthy, namely Jim Jordan of Ohio and Jim Banks of Indiana, both solid conservatives who are pro-Trump. Nancy Pelosi said, nope, I don't want them on the committee. I believe this is the first time those designated by the minority have been told, no, you can't be seated, we don't want you here. And instead you've got the two Republicans who are there basically as a facade, as sort of a patina of bipartisanship. But there is never Trump as it gets, and I don't think they have much interest in getting to the bottom of this other than continuing this big lie that this whole thing was all cooked up by Donald J. Trump as some sort of a weird, you know, make America great again coup to keep himself in power, I suppose, as president for life or something like that. No one's really explained how exactly that would work, but that's the theory anyway.
Exactly. Well, he's a Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, DeRoy Murdoch. DeRoy, as always, appreciate the insight. Take care.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer
offer you wonderful money-saving benefits. But you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Freddie Mac data is revealing buying a home has rates surging at a price not seen since 1987. The average price on a 30-year fixed mortgage hit 5% this week. Russia's defense ministry is reporting that the Moskva cruiser, the flagship of its Black Sea fleet, has sunk. Ukraine says it hit it with missiles. Russia claims it was an accidental fire that ignited ammunition. This week's subway shooting in New York, the NYPD reported 10 people were shot, 5 of them hospitalized in critical but stable condition, and 13 others were injured in the panic. 62-year-old Frank James turned himself in and faced a federal judge Thursday. Mr. James did not enter a plea and is being held without bail. His attorney is reminding New Yorkers not to jump to conclusions.
Initial press and police reports in cases like this one are often inaccurate.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Welcome back. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. If you're hearing the show over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, we have a special weekend network that we're grateful to. And you may be hearing us on delay, but I just want to remind you, we air live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Well, if you walk through any grocery store lately, you've seen aisles full of marshmallow peeps, chocolate eggs, and colorful bunnies. If you're lucky to have some of those shelves stocked, I know some look rather anemic, but nonetheless, many kids look forward to a sugar-filled basket left by a giant rabbit on Easter morning. So it comes as no surprise that kids are often confused by the meaning of Easter and why we celebrate it. With us right now from Focus on the Family is the attorney and life issues analyst for Focus, Nicole Hunt. Nicole, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Well, Nicole, we definitely are to blame for allowing a false message for such an important and significant part of, certainly as people of faith, and people who enjoy the freedoms of America today, based on Judeo-Christian principles. But here it is, we have the highest of holidays in Easter Sunday, this whole week, and, you know, starting with, today being Good Friday. And some people question and go, well, how can this be Good Friday? Because this wasn't this the day that Jesus was crucified? Good only if you have eyes to see. If you don't have eyes to see, then you don't see the goodness of Good Friday, do you?
Well, that's right. I think you got to see it from a Christian worldview, Christian perspective.
Well, and from God's perspective, I mean, he says that he will show us things that we don't know. Great things. And I think this is one of the great things maybe we can pray for, especially for this incredible holiday that we have once a year to remind us that God demonstrated his love for us in such an incredible manner. You know, though we may have lost hope and, you know, feel like, okay, there's just too much shame to bear because of our sins. You know, God says, look, I get it. I get where you're coming from. but I'm going to send my son to bring you back home where you belong, right?
That's right. I mean, if there's anything that Easter is about, it is about finding hope in a hopeless situation. Jesus died on Good Friday, and it felt hopeless. Mm-hmm. When it happened that day, that year, that moment, the disciples, Mary, everyone thought that hope was lost. Mm-hmm. But Sunday was coming. And so that is what we focus on, especially as we're talking about creating traditions with our family and especially with our children.
So what are some creative ways to teach our kids the true meaning of Easter and why believers celebrate it?
Well, I think the first thing is creating family traditions and then building consistency by celebrating them year after year after year is the way we really build something important in our children's hearts. And a couple of the things that our family does that I think bring it to life in a meaningful, tangible way, on Easter morning, we do this thing to create a resurrection roll. And really, it's like a cinnamon roll for kids. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But they're part of the process. And really what it does is it creates an opportunity to talk about Jesus' death and his resurrection. It's a tasty treat. Mm-hmm. But it's an opportunity to really talk about what was at stake here and what really happened. Not about Easter bunnies. This is about the Son of God mm-hmm. overcoming death and being able to live again, to rise again. And so for your listeners, when I'm talking about resurrection rolls, what we would do is first gather the kids together, turn the oven on, and while the oven's preheating, you read John 19, and it's about Jesus being sentenced to be crucified. Mm-hmm. Then you get out these crescent rolls, and you put them all out. You explain that those represent the cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. You get out a big white marshmallow, and you explain that that big white marshmallow represents the purity of Jesus, mm-hmm. how he was without sin. You roll it in butter. You tell them that that represents the embalming oils. Mm-hmm. Then you take that marshmallow and you roll it in cinnamon and sugar, and you tell them this is like the spices that were put on his body to prepare him for burial. You put it into the marshmallow into the dough, and you wrap it up. And you tell them this is represents Jesus' body that was wrapped up in the cloth, and then it was put into the tomb. You put it into the oven, which is like the tomb, set the timer for 8 to 10 minutes, and when you pull it out, you talk to the kids about the fact that you're pulling out Jesus' body from the tomb, and then you look at the resurrection rolls, and what they'll see, of course, they'll immediately tell you, what happened to the marshmallow, Mom? Mm-hmm. Well, it disappeared. The marshmallow, of course, melted by the heat, but it represents the body of Christ, which is gone because it's not there anymore. It's not in the tomb. It's not in the wraps. He lived. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's tasty, but it's something my kids, they love to do this every single year.
Well, and I can see how you've illustrated this. How did you get this idea, Nicole?
Well, you know, the internet's a great place to find different ideas on how to go ahead and represent what this time of year means. This is something my family started doing about 5 or 6 years ago. And again, just found it on the internet. And I was like, this is something worth repeating. And it's a tradition. My children now have got a teenager down to an 8-year-old. This is, they would tell you, is one of their most favorite traditions. Doing resurrection rolls together.
I bet. Well, how special. And that this is something that they look forward to and will look forward to this coming Sunday. Jesus' death and resurrection can be confusing and hard to understand, especially for young kids. So how do we explain such a heavy topic in age-appropriate ways, Nicole?
Yep. That's a great question. Thanks for asking it. I believe that the main idea is really to focus on the fact that Jesus is alive. Of course, there are lots of movies out there, and perhaps as your children get older, it might be age-appropriate to show them movies that you believe. Show enough. I mean, it's a very difficult movie to watch if you watch, like, The Crucifixion or others like it. Mm-hmm. So you know the age-appropriateness to give your children an insight into what that was like. But for younger children, I would really recommend we focus on the fact that Jesus lives. He did mm-hmm. die.
Yes.
That's what Good Friday is about. But now he is alive. Sin does not have a grip on our lives. We have hope for a future. And that is the thing you focus on, really, with younger children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because, like you said, the age appropriateness, and parents know best, because movies like The Passion, I mean, 20 minutes of the scourge scene, it's hard for adults to see.
That's right, it is.
Yeah. Well, without a doubt. Now, is there a way to use the commercial symbols of Easter, you know, like chocolate, eggs, and bunnies, to teach the meaning of Easter?
Absolutely. You know, I think As you sit down, a lot of families love to decorate eggs together. As you sit down decorating the eggs, talk about what Jesus has done for you this year, how you've seen Jesus work in your life. I know a tradition that I love is finding, either getting a plastic egg or a wooden egg, but creating an egg basket, a special egg basket. Maybe this is something you put on your coffee table or in a special place on your house that everyone gets to see. But each year, every family member gets a wooden egg or a plastic egg, and you write one word on that egg or a phrase that is something about what Jesus means to you. And you put the year on it, and you collect those over the years. You put your name and your year, and what was important? What did Jesus teach you that year? Or what's important about how you've grown this year in your spiritual life? And you look back on that year after year, and it builds the tradition of really connecting your spirituality, your growth in your spiritual journey with the resurrection and with Easter.
I like that idea. I'm a proponent of journaling because I think that as the Bible tells us, often we forget, right? It tells us, I think, almost for every day of the year, it tells us to remember, right? And this is a cool way to remember things, at least for that moment in time. And as you go back, and maybe you put those eggs away until the next year, and when you bring them back, it helps you remember, oh, this is what we were dealing with, whether it was issues of COVID, maybe things of doubt that we may have had about our faith or whatever. And always a blessing to look back and see how God has shown us those great and mighty things which we know not, right?
Absolutely. It's so important to remember where we've come from, because then we have much more gratitude about where God has brought us.
Well, Nicole Hunt has been our guest. She's the attorney and life issues analyst for Focus on the Family. What about resources that Focus has to help teach our children about Easter? 30 seconds left.
Thank you so much. Yes, please go to www.focusonthefamily.com/parenting, and you can find all kinds of resources, 5 new resources added every single day.
Nicole Hunt, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Happy Easter to you and the family.
Happy Easter. Thank you for having me.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
Do you have the level of health and energy you desire? The Western world's oldest superfood supports energy, mood, elimination of cravings for junk foods or sweets, elimination of pain, detoxification, immunity, muscle building, fat loss, and even has anti-cancer properties. The oldest superfood is cold sterilized whey protein from grass-pastured cows. Unlike heat sterilized whey protein powder, cold sterilized is easy to digest, and for most dairy intolerant people, they digest it fine. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold sterilized whey protein powder on the market. Green Meadow Whey is imbued with a life-giving energy that most people can feel in the form of improved energy and mood for 6 or more hours at a time. Unheated whey is nature's most powerful support for glutathione production, so essential to the health of every cell of your body. Let Green Meadow Whey erase your fatigue, fortify your immune system, support your detoxification, support your fat loss and lean muscle development, and lift you to new levels of health. To learn more or order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At TCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Martinez live. Join us online at Bill Martinez Live.
And now in over 260 markets across this country, thank you so much for partnering up with us and maintaining your commitment to do what it takes to get this country back on track. It is Good Friday, and as is tradition here on Bill Martinez Live, I have to share with you probably one of my favorite sermons from Tony Campolo, an American sociologist, pastor, author, public speaker, former spiritual advisor to U.S. President Bill Clinton. He's known as one of the most influential leaders in the evangelical left. He's been a major proponent of progressive thought and reform within the evangelical community. We're going to listen to a special a recount of a sermon that he was exposed to after giving a sermon himself there in Pennsylvania. Here's Tony Campolo.
I belong to an African-American church because living in West Philadelphia, as I have over the years, my church lost all of its members as the community changed racially. Black people moved in and the white people moved out. And when the church was about to close, my father said, well, we've got to find another church. And the nearest Baptist church, because we're Baptist, was African-American. So we went there, Mount Carmel Baptist Church. And old Dr. Hubbard would have us do this preach-off once a year. And white people don't even know what they are. You get about six, seven preachers, and you preach back-to-back. It goes on and on and on for hours. And you know how you're doing in my church. One time I was preaching in my church and nothing much was happening. I knew I was dying on my feet, and some lady on the last row yelled, "Help him, Jesus! Help him, Jesus!" And I knew my sermon wasn't going over well. Likewise in my church, when you're really pumping on all cylinders, the deacons sit right up front, right underneath the pulpit. And every time you say something good, the deacons yell, "Preach, brother! Preach, preach!" You know, I would do great if I just could take my deacons with me anywhere, because they encourage you beyond words when you're preaching. Yeah. And the women in my church, they put one hand in the air and they go, "Well, That's all they do. Well, you get 67 women going, well, every time you say something good, yeah, your hormones bubble.
Well, that can move something.
That's right. And the men in my church, when you're really delivering the word, or as they say, have gotten down, they'll stand up and yell, keep going. Keep going, baby. Keep going. Keep going. They'll stand up and point at you and yell at them. I don't get that from white people.
Yeah.
White people look at their watches and say, stop, stop. But in my church, it goes the other way. Well, we were having our preach-off. There were seven of us preaching back-to-back, and it was my turn.
Wow.
And I don't want to brag, but I was good. And the people were yelling, well, and preach, and keep going, and I feed on that. The more they did it, the better I got. The better I got, the more they did it. I want to tell you, I got so good, I wanted to take notes on me. When I finished, that place exploded. There was cheering and clapping. I sat down. My pastor hit my knee. He said, you did all right. You did all right. I said, Pastor Everett, you're next. Are you going to be able to top that?
How do you follow that up?
Yeah, he said, son, sit back, because the old man is going to do you in. I didn't think anybody could do it that day.
Yeah.
That sucker got up, and he did me in with one line over and over again. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Doesn't sound like much, but you weren't there. He started off nice and soft. It was Friday, and the Satan seemed to be in control. Jesus was dead on the cross, but that's because it was Friday. Sunday's coming. Friday. Friday, people are saying, as things have been, so they shall be. You can't change things in this world, but they don't know. It's only Friday, he yelled. Sunday's coming, and people are going, preach, keep going. And Friday. Friday, they're saying darkness is everywhere, and hopelessness and despair is ruling the world. But I'm here to give you the good news. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming, and people are cheering like mad by this time. He went on and on. Friday, Sunday's coming. Friday, Sunday's coming. He got to the end of that sermon, and he just yelled at the top of his lungs, Friday! Without hesitation, that whole congregation yelled back, Sunday's coming! And that's the good news. As much as there is despair in the air, as much as it seems as though we're losing ground to the forces of darkness, I've got good news. And it's the good news of my pastor. It may look like everything's lost, but it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. We've got a God who can turn things around.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Tony Campbell, Professor Emeritus of Sociology in Pennsylvania. Dr. Tony, the kingdom of God, that's what Jesus preached.
Yeah, it's, you know, if Jesus had to reduce his message to a soundbite, that would be it. The first words out of his mouth in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first words are, I have come to declare that the kingdom of God is at hand. You can't have the kingdom without kingdom people. Sometimes mainline churches forget that. They want to change the world, but they have forgotten that before you can change the world, you got to change people. The kingdom of God is transformed people living in a transformed society. It's a society in which government, in which the economic system, in which the educational system, the recreational system, all things function in accord with the will of God. But you're not going to have that kind of society unless people themselves are transformed. And there are a lot of characteristics of the kingdom of God. One is justice for the poor and the oppressed. That people's economic needs are met. That people are not seduced by a consumeristic society. But there's a big theme that I preach a great deal. And that is the kingdom of God is also a party. And I'm sure you were going to drive to that.
Right. That's what Jesus knows how to party. I mean, after all, and like you said, the stage is set. I mean, we're reminded in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, everything operating in the rhyme and reason that God intended it to be. What more could you want?
I want you to add one more thing.
Okay.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
Yes.
The kingdom already exists in heaven. God's will is done up there. The question is, does he have a people? And are you and I willing to become some of those people who will work to see that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven? We dare not pray for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We dare not pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven unless we ourselves are willing to submit ourselves to that end. When I say party, every time there's a response to the gospel, it's party time. You think of Zacchaeus, the little man. Everybody hated Zacchaeus because he was a tax collector that ripped people off. Jesus comes marching down Main Street, and the crowd lined the sidewalks, and they pushed little Zacchaeus, he's a shirt guy, into the background. And you know the song from Daily Vacation Bible School. He climbs up in the sycamore tree, for he wanted his Lord to see. At last the Savior came walking by, and he yells, "Yo, Zac, come on down. We're going to your house today. We're going to have a party." So the next time they ask you, "What time is it?" you say, "It's party time." And it's the same with the prodigal son. Remember the boy that takes half of his father's money and goes off and spends it in riotous living, ends up feeding the pigs. You know what that meant in the Israeli world, in the Jewish world, to feed pigs. And he would love to have the slop that the pigs are eating. And he says, "I don't have to put up with this. There are guys that work on my father's farm that live well. I know what I'll do. I'll go home, and I'll ask my father for a job on the farm." Well, if you're going to go home after blowing half of your father's income, you'd better rehearse your speech. And all the way home, the kid's rehearsing it. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of your hired servants." The Bible says, "And the father saw him when he was a long way off and runs out and throws his arms around his son. And the son starts the speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee." The father's not listening. "Bill, go and get some clothes. This kid's in rags." Son saying, "I am no longer worthy to be called thy son." "Harry, get a ring. Put it on his finger. Bill, go out behind the barn and there's a fat calf. Kill that sucker. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son." "Knock it off, son. You're home. We're going to have a party." So the next time you ask what time it is, you as a Christian ought to say it's party time.
Party time.
Jesus says whenever anyone comes to know him as Lord and Savior, that the angels in heaven have a party, celebrate. The kingdom of God is marked by celebration and joy. To become a Christian is not to be some deadhead, boring person, but to come alive in the joy of what God is doing in the lives of people who surrender to him and in the world that is being transformed by those people.
Amen. Dr. Tony, it seems like the signs that we're talking about are coming soon and very soon these days.
Yes, and we need to look at both sides. Jesus, when he talked about the end times, gave a wonderful parable. He said it's like this. The kingdom of God is likened unto a man who plants wheat in the field. He sows wheat seeds. And the wheat begins to grow. And the evil one comes and sows tares, or weeds. And the weeds begin to grow alongside of the tares. And the servants come to the master and say, "What should we do? Pull up the weeds?" He said, "You can't do that without destroying the wheat. Let the two grow up together. And come the harvest, we will separate the wheat from the tares. And the tares, the weeds, shall be thrown into the flames." The point of the story is clear. The tares, which Jesus specifically says represents the kingdom of evil, is growing stronger and stronger every day. You can't pick up the newspaper without being aware that evil has never been more prominent, that corruption is never more evident, that the denigration of the evil one is everywhere at hand. And it's enough to discourage anybody, except that Jesus reminds us that not only are the tares growing, not only are the weeds growing, but the wheat is also growing, which is the kingdom of God. In short, the kingdom of evil has never been stronger or more evident than it is today, but neither has the kingdom of God.
Amen. Dr. Tony Campolo, alumnus, professor emeritus of sociology at Eastern University in Pennsylvania. My prayer this Good Friday for you is that whatever it is that is your Friday, remember, Sunday is coming.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day.